you're doing, it's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
Oh,
express yourself.
Happening now. It's an hour of conversation, music, and poetry to welcome in this final month of 2024. Hopefully you've recovered from overeating and are enjoying friends and family or getting out in nature. While my co-host Brian paints his way through Argentina, I am here huddled in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District and loving every moment. Today, we have a full house from Redstone talking about all things Redstone, including the Redstone Holiday Market coming up on the 7th. I have recorded interviews with Anne Morgan and Dorothy Raymond, whose exhibitions hang at the Art Base, but only through December 7th, so you don't want to miss them. And I'm going to play some music and share some poetry and just have fun. Because we can. All right, a huge shout out to Kat Rich on her birthday today. Stay with me, folks.
Y'all do it. Yeah. Express yourself. Express yourself.
Oh, yeah. We are expressing ourselves here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. My goodness, cold out there, but really quite lovely. And I am here with a lovely group of women from Redstone. I'm going to let them each introduce themselves. And you know you got to talk right into those microphones. Yeah, get right up there. So who is visiting us today? I'm so excited to have people here. So excited I forgot to turn on the microphones. There we go.
Hi there, I'm Mary DeRay, and I'm here with three other women. We're here to discuss the holiday market coming up in Redstone on December 7th. It should be a grand time.
We're going to learn more about that. Who else is with us?
Well, I got kidnapped into this group. I'm not with the holiday market, but I have been in past years, and I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about another Redstone event, which will take place on December 9th, which is a Monday night, something we call Fireside Chats, and this will be the second of bi-monthly chats that the Redstone Historical Society is trying to put together to expose our community to some of the movers and shakers throughout history who have done wonderful things. And
you know what?
Make sure it's documented.
You didn't tell us who you were.
I'm Becca Trimbley.
There you go. She got right in it. She had a message to put out there. We're going to talk about more of that soon. All right.
I'm Dion Holt. I'm an artist that's based up in Marble. I'm relatively new to the Crystal Valley.
You are? Where are you from?
I'm from Australia originally, but
I've been here
for over 10 years now.
Welcome. Okay. Good, Cindy, we're gonna keep this conversation going.
Hi, I'm Cindy Cole. I've lived in Redstone since 1976. I am on the Redstone Art Board, and Lisa Wagner used to coordinate all of the Holiday Markets. This is the fifth annual. She's moved away, so here we are. So we'll try to make it just as good or even better. It's like we've said, it's December 7th. We have 49 vendors, so we need a lot of shoppers.
Well, that's great. So this is what year of the Redstone
this
Market?
This is the fifth annual.
Fifth annual Redstone Market. I remember I was at the first one. It was like the most amazing, beautiful day. You walk up and down the boulevard. There's different artist booths throughout. You want to explain kind of the layout and how far it goes down? How far do we have to walk?
You have to walk all the way to Crystal Dreams, which is next to Propaganda Pie. That used to be the Crystal Club, to the Redstone Inn. If that's too hard for you, we have a Holiday Express that can haul you back and forth.
Ooh.
For free, of course. We have all of our vendors are located at a business. That way they have internet, they have access to inside, and it benefits the businesses and it benefits the vendors.
That's good. And you know, so if it's snowing or something like that, you still should go because the artists will still be there kind of connected with an indoor business.
Right. We're out in little pop-up tents, the 10x10s.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have fire pits by each place so you can warm
nice.
Up. We have hot chocolate free to everybody at the church and at the Crystal Dreams Bed and Breakfast. Joy is also going to have cookie decorating for kids at the bed and breakfast. Each business will have at least 2 to 4 vendors, and we try to separate them out so we don't have all the potters together. So it's a good variety. It's a fun group, and it's magical Redstone. I don't know how you could not want to be there.
That's right. So what is your art? Here, we'll move this is crazy. It's crazy in here. Let's move the microphone over. And so what are you presenting at the market?
I'm a plein air artist for the most part. So I paint outdoors. I have oil paintings and gouache paintings.
Nice. And are a lot of those paintings from the area?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, do you participate in the Redstone plein air?
Don't
you guys have a great plein air?
I do, yeah. Back in June, we had the plein air at the art gallery there, which was a great event. So I still got a couple of paintings from the plein air event.
Nice. And do you show at the Redstone Art Fair?
Yes, the Labor Day show. Yeah, I was there this year, and I was at the Christmas fair last year. I find it just a great way to interact with the community. Being new to the area, it's been such a great place, not only obviously to sell my work, which is the ideal situation, but it's also to meet folks that are local and get to know the area and get to know the people.
Nice. All right, and what are you presenting?
Well, I'm one of many vendors, and I am more of a crafter, and I'm presenting woodland gnomes.
Ooh.
And I'm also doing quite a few ornaments, so
nice.
There'll be lots of holiday things that you can get for your grandkids, so be thinking about that. I know as a grandparent, I always like to get a ornament for my grandkids each year. Makes it kind of special. I'd also like to mention a lot of us vendors do not take credit cards.
And oh, that's a good thing to mention.
You know, it's good to go to that ATM before you come, and a lot of the vendors will be taking cash or check. So keep that in mind as you stroll up and down the lovely Redstone Boulevard.
Well, that's a good thing to note because people are so used to digital cash exchange. And I gotta say, I love my checkbook, but nobody, it's kind of ancient and archaic. You pull out a check,
people
laugh at you. So that's great.
It's
I'm bringing my checkbook. opportunity to exercise your writing on a check. It's very exciting. Well, that's awesome. And do either of you show your, well, Cindy, you also are an artist.
I used to,
we got to put her on the mic.
Yep. My husband and I made jewelry and we sold it for many years and we've kind of taken a sabbatical. We're just look at our jewelry bench and go, there it is. So
even jewelers rewire occasionally.
I know. And then I started taking a lot of painting lessons, and that's very fun. But for the art, for the holiday market, we are focusing mostly on gifts. We have several jewelers. We have potters. We have artists. We have cards. We have candles. We have beautiful cakes and beautiful...
Nice, yeah.
And beautiful holiday desserts. And they're all cottage industry, all vetted, so they can be safe, no problems.
So how do you find your artists, or do they find you?
Sometimes they find us. I just ask people that I know. I've been around a long time. And anybody that suggests somebody will look at their work, we'll have them send us pictures and say, yeah, why don't you join us? And then I'm on the art board for the Labor Day weekend, as is Dion. So we have people from there. We have about 3 or 4 people from there coming to this.
That's great. Yeah. So, Dion, you keep saying you're new, but you've been here 10 years, or you've been like, what does here mean?
Well, I've been in the U.S. 10 years. Okay. So I've moved around a little bit, but I've been in Colorado for the last 6 years.
For the last 6 years. And do you actually live in Redstone?
I'm building a house right now in Marble.
Oh, whoa. That's even deeper. Deeper Crystal Valley. And what about you? Have you lived in Redstone? Do you live in Redstone?
Like Cindy, my husband and I moved here in 1976. So we've been around. So I guess you could say we're local.
So how many artists actually come from Redstone Marble area? Do you know? Or is it regional? Do people come from outside of the state?
No, we don't. I can't think, not for the market at all. Even for the art show, we try to be local Colorado. I would say we have at least 15 people from Redstone Marble area.
Wow.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And we're getting quite a showing from Marble, and they are getting more and more artists up there all the time. They're getting very active. So we want to corroborate with them, just grow and grow into an art center region more than we used to be. And it's so beautiful there.
Well, you know what I find is so awesome about what's happening in this, I call it the Crystal Valley, which I consider a string of pearls. You know, we've got Carbondale and Redstone and Marble, and they're each really unique. But it used to be that everyone like was in their own silo. I mean, Marble didn't want anyone to, you know, they were on their own thing, and Redstone, and now I feel like art has really kind of defined all of us in different ways. I remember they called me from Marble once saying, well, you know, we kind of would like to change our image a little bit. You know, that's the ATV thing's getting really intense, and we really want to really showcase the artistry more. And it feels like it's just getting stronger and stronger down there all the time. And it's just so fun to see. I love going down there too. Well, it's up. I always say down, but it's up. I know. So you also have lots of other things going on. So we have a chat coming up. Well, we have the Grand Illumination tomorrow night. And that starts, do any of you know what time that starts? Okay, you come on in here.
The Grand Illumination, I know, starts tomorrow night at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
And it starts, I think, on the boulevard with lighting lights, and then Santa proceeds from business to business and winds up at the Redstone Inn. And that's where they do the Grand Illumination, which is lighting the very large bonfire, which everybody loves to come gather around. They set up a bar there for refreshments, and they have carolers performing right there at the Grand Illumination. And of course, Santa is there visiting all the children.
Oh, my gosh. So how big is that fire? Like,
it is this. Well, let's see. It's a. It's
into
a,
the microphone.
It's a 20 dumpster fire.
It's a 20 dumpster fire? Cool.
It's huge. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So do they set that like right around 5?
The fire department comes and they it's fun to watch the prepping because they get very excited about which angle they go from and where they're going to do it and how they're going to start it and where when the which way the wind's blowing. So they have a lot of pre-prepping, and then they light it up, and there you go. And it lasts. It usually isn't out for a day or two, really.
You're not roasting marshmallows on it.
No.
Really long branches.
You stay very warm.
So, Deanne, let's go back to your art a little bit. Do you practice your art? Do you have a studio? How do you create art?
At the moment, I'm just working out of my house, and I'm The new house will have some studio space.
Nice.
So hopefully it will be in the new year. But I paint a lot outdoors.
So then wintertime you're quieter? Or do you go out there in the winter?
I try to keep painting in the winter. I think you see colors differently in person than from photographs. So I try and paint as much as I can outdoors.
Wow. That'd be fun. And you you just do your art wherever you can.
Well, I've been trying to get more into painting lately, but I won't be showing any of that. I'm not quite ready.
Are you taking the Connie Hendricks painting class?
I took Connie Hendricks painting class.
Yeah. Oh, you all did?
Yeah. I did a 6-week course with Connie Hendricks, and she's amazing. So I'm learning all the tricks of the trade, and you know, a few of those paintings don't look too bad. So I'm excited about developing my skills with that. But presently, I am sticking with my crafting. I do a lot of knitting as well. I'll have some little boys' sweaters. You usually always see for the little girls. But you know, we need some sweaters for those little boys, too. So I have 5 grandsons, so that's why I'm kind of lean toward that direction.
Nice.
So, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Well, I have a grandson I'm going out to see soon. He's turning 5, so I'll definitely be excited to check that out. All right. Well, we have the
another instructor that's in our valley and I've taken several classes from is Dion right here.
Oh, where are you teaching?
Outside.
Outdoors, yeah. I did a 3-day painting workshop in September, but we won't be doing that this winter. That'll be starting up again in the spring.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so we got the Grand Illumination tomorrow night. I really jumped around there. And then we have the chat coming up. And shall we just go a little deeper into, are these chats going to be happening consistently? Is this a one-off? What's the chat story?
Oh, thank you, Amy, for this opportunity. It is a new event that the Redstone Historical Society is putting together. We had our first one in October, and we hope to have one every other month, the second Monday of the month. And what we're doing is trying to spotlight some of the very influential people who have done so much in the Redstone area, for all the way from stopping dams being built to writing wonderful historic novels, working with the town government. There's just a variety of people out there that have done so much for us. And unfortunately, we're all growing older and more of them are moving away or That's disappearing right. in one fashion or another. And we really just want to spotlight these skills and learn from the past so we can move forward in a good way. And so these
where do they take place?
Fireside chats are located at the Redstone Inn in front of the fireplace.
Of course.
Yeah. And we are trying to raise funds for all kinds of things. A new museum might be coming our way, but these events are free and open to the public with donations encouraged. They start at 5:30 again, second Monday of the month, every other month.
Okay, so December is an on month. January will be an off month. And then February, back at it. We'll have to have you back on. Maybe we could have one of your guests on.
That sounds great. You know, and we think a lot about a past Katie and Kay show called I Remember This.
That's right. That's right.
Which was so important and kind of following those footsteps.
Oh, fabulous. Well, if someone wants to find out more about each of you, let's start with just Redstone activities and Redstone. Where might they go? We'll switch that microphone towards you.
I would go to the website of the Redstone Community Association, and I would also go to the website of the Redstone Art Foundation. We're trying to kind of have related activities on both of them, and that's a good place to start. You can send an email to either one of them, and you should get a response, and hopefully come up to Redstone. It's so beautiful, and we have so much going on.
That's right. So it's on Saturday, the 7th.
Yep.
And it starts at 10, and it ends at 5?
3.
Oh, it ends at 3. Okay, ends at 3.
It gets so cold in Redstone after the sun goes down that we've learned just end it at 3.
There you go. Smart move. And Dionne, where can people find out more about you and your art?
On my website at dionneholt.com.
Okay. And do you have a website?
I do not.
All right. I like it. A renegade. See, you guys, if you want to see her art, you've got to go down to Redstone on the 7th and see it live and in person. And does the Historical Society have a website?
Yes, they do. And you can go to just historyredstone.org. And Amy, I know I jumped in the beginning, but I don't know if I mentioned who we are featuring at the Fireside Chat this
coming Monday. Oh, yeah, mention that.
Monday, week from Monday. And that is Larry Meredith, who wrote the legendary historical novel, This Cursed Valley, which most people in this valley are very, very familiar with. And he will be interviewed by his daughter, Susie Meredith Orr, who is a local librarian here in Carbondale. So we're really looking forward to that and hope you can join us.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. I hope you have just a wonderful rest of the holiday weekend. Thanks for coming down here. And we'll see you on the 7th.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, well, we've got lots more coming up. We've got our interviews with the Art Base, and I am going to play a little Jerry Joseph. He is coming to Steve's Guitars on the 18th of December. He's been one of my favorite writers and artists since for 25, 30 years. So here you go.
Blue sky Sunday morning, November 1st, and everybody's buckled up, preparing for the worst. I think that I should toss my phone and take a look around. Aretha's on the deck in pink and bone vinyl. I've never loved a man the way I love you. Running through the coffee like Mojave gasoline. Realize this summer the children really grew. Nobody knows what the future brings. All the tea in China or the golden ring. Wrap your arms around me, it's everything. 'Cause baby, you're the man who would be king. Swinging back to me, it's the gravity of
Terry Joseph. I'm going to play a few more from him a little later on. It's the 18th of December at Steve's Guitars. Jerry, he wrote some successful songs for Widespread Panic. He had a band with Dave Schools from Widespread Panic called Stockholm Syndrome. I'll tell you, this guy's been around the block, but that's why I love him. Okay, I am now going to read a poem, because why not? It is Thanksgiving, and Rosemary Wattola Traumer, who is a Colorado poet from Telluride, just put out a new book. She's poet laureate for Evermore. She co-hosts the Emerging Form podcast, and her daily audio series, The Poetic Path, is on the Ritual app. Her poems have appeared on A Prairie Home Companion, PBS NewsHour, O Magazine, American Life and Poetry, and the Carnegie Hall stage. Her newest collection is The Unfolding, with a one-word mantra: adjust. Oh, yes, that is what we've got to do. This is called What the Sky Knows. Before the feast, I slip outside into the rose glow of evening and talk to my loves who no longer walk this earth, and I thank them for being in my life. And I cry and cry. How is it possible at the same time to hold so much grief and so much gratefulness? And the sky holds me, and the rooftops, the streets and the fields, the factories and forests, it holds it all, holds what is most beautiful, holds what is most foul. It doesn't try to change anything, like that, it seems to say as it turns a deeper rose. Like that. All right. Rosemary Wattola Trommer, T-R-O-M-M-E-R. Check out her poetry. It's beautiful. And you can get it virtually every day if you need something to give you inspiration or connect you with the world and all its pains and joys. All right. Well, I am now going to run an interview. Earlier today, I got to speak with Anne Morgan, whose show Once When I Was You Part 3 is at the Art Base, only for one more week. It's been up there since November 15th. I also spoke with Dorothy Raymond, who is co-exhibiting with Anne. Her show is The Earth Speaks. So they are very different in their approaches to art. It was fascinating to speak to each of them. So we are going to start with Anne, and then we'll come back with Dorothy. So here we go. Enjoy. Okay. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Welcome to Express Yourselves. Thanks for taking some time. I know you're on the big island of Hawaii, really roughing it. So we appreciate we appreciate you calling in today. Your work is up at the Art Base for only one more week. And I thought we should start out by having you describe your work to our listening audience.
I would classify my work as abstract landscape. I paint large-scale oil paintings. They're traditional how I make them. But the influence that I have is all things technology because of my background in technology. I work with an AI model that I trained, and I get a lot of images and sketch ideas, and basically technology is how I think and am able to put images on those big canvases.
So when you say AI model, what does that mean?
Well, a model is... it's a set of images or text, in this case it's images, that AI uses to train on. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you're putting information, it's like a brain, and what it does is it kind of crunches that information. And then I'm able to do a text prompt of those images that I put in there, like I can ask it questions, and as long as I use a keyword of what that model was named, it will give me back an image. And it's not, you know, it's not just mashing the images that were in there. When it trains, it's able, you know, it thinks about it and gives you something new.
Wow. And do you think that if you are consistent in working with an AI model, do you find that it begins to understand you better?
I think the model that I trained is pretty small. I think there's only about, there's like 300 images in there that it used to train on. So a lot of times, like I will get something recognizable, like I will recognize pieces of different pictures I've uploaded. Sometimes it gives me something completely new that was never in the model. So, you know, maybe it gets to know me, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's had a lot of time to kind of think and crunch things. So I've gotten like moons and night skies and things that I definitely know are not in there.
That's so fascinating. So let's talk about your process a little bit more. You actually paint in oil,
mm-hmm.
and then you feed these into your model?
Sometimes I work back and forth. So usually what I do when I plan an oil painting is I will sketch digitally. So I will do text prompts to my AI model, often kind of what I'm thinking or feeling during the day, and just see what it comes back with. And often that will trigger memories for me, and I will go on the internet or into my own set of images and get something that's kind of matching that memory that it triggered in me, and then I make layered sketches in Photoshop, and then I save it as a file, and I project that just using a projector like I had in conference rooms before to do meetings, and I paint in the dark. So I just have the projected light, and I will mix some colors before I get started and just know where those are at and do my images. So often it's a pretty big surprise what ends up on the canvas when I turn the lights on.
Now, your pieces are not small, correct?
No, they are not.
You go large scale, and what is the attraction to the large scale?
I think it's an offset. I think there's several reasons. It's an offset from, you know, I worked in technology for 20 years, and so I was sitting at a desk. So I really like how physical painting large is. It's very, very physical. And I think that's part of how I paint, because I have actually tried to paint smaller, and it's just not, you know, I don't feel the same way. I feel like those paintings aren't as successful either. So I really think it's not only part of my process, but just, you know, how I'm able to express myself the best way is large scale.
Well, this is a third in a series called Once When I Was You, Part 3. And is that, I think it's because maybe you've shown part of this series in other places. And what does Once When I Was You mean?
It's a riff on memory. That's often what I try to capture. And when I use AI models or AI platforms other than mine that I trained, so like Midjourney, I feel like I'm tapping into the collective memory because it was trained on everyone's images on the internet, which is often a contentious point. But and Once When I Was You is just referring to how many different people I've been over my lifetime, you know, a college student or working in tech or a child, and, you know, other people are now in those spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's just a very, it's a little bit about empathy and memory, like once when I was in your shoes, once when I was doing what you're doing, it's all about that.
Wow. Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Actually, I've been thinking about that a lot. That's interesting. And let's just talk real briefly. In tech, what did you do?
I learned web development back in the 90s when the internet was first new, and there was about five things to learn. Mm-hmm. And you could make a website. And then I went to grad school for a little while and decided being an art professor was not for me. Mm-hmm. And I taught classes on Microsoft Office, web design, JavaScript, Photoshop, the Adobe Suite in the early 2000s. That was my first real job. And then I worked at a software company as a web developer, and I also did UI design. And I had a technical position at the association that I worked at after that.
Wow. So now I was reading your artist statement. You live in Denver, but I love this line. You say, the nature I'm inspired by is the absence of nature, what you might imagine nature to be if you've never seen it, or a natural world that doesn't exist anymore. Where does that come from? Here you are in Colorado, filled with nature everywhere, but you really have taken a different look at it. And can you delve into that a little bit?
Sure. I think it's several reasons I say that. I'm a technical person. I spent a lot of my life in the virtual world, where nature definitely isn't. And there's all these replications, like in video games, and just looking at that digital imagery, for such a long time. I think that's really influenced me. Mm-hmm. So that replication rather than reality. I've lived in a lot of different places with a lot of different natural landscapes. So I feel that plus living virtually is more of a global kind of mm-hmm. feel. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel very tied to one particular landscape, even though, you know, I love to hike and I love Colorado and I love the way it looks. And I also think during the pandemic really inspired me because mm-hmm. everyone was inside and just kind of remembering what the natural world was like when you could go outside and enjoy that. And once people were let out, I think everyone really appreciated being outside a little more than they had before. I think it has something to do with that. And it also, I have a lot of allergies. So often in my life, I have been unable to go outside. Right. So it is an imagined world. I just have to stay inside for my own health. So I've got kind of a strange relationship with nature all around.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, your work looks beautiful in the art base. It's very colorful and large scale. And you really, I guess you're one of the artists that is comfortable and happy working with AI, and yet it's such a huge discussion in the art world, the fear of AI. So what are your feelings like on art and AI in the bigger picture?
I think AI is not something that's going away. It's here, and it's here to stay. So I think being fearful of it or trying to not use it or just trying to ignore it or being angry about it, I don't think that's a way to move forward just because it's here. So I think not being aware of it and not using it, not understanding how it works, I feel like that's allowing others to gatekeep that kind of information. Mm-hmm. And I really like knowing and understanding how technology works. So I don't feel like anything is being held back from me. I think that's kind of important. I understand. It's not that I don't understand how AI was trained and it was scraped from the internet, so everyone's images were used without their permission. But again, it already happened, so there's no going back. So I feel like looking forward and just knowing how it works and becoming comfortable with it will allow us to have more control of where it goes.
Right. Yes, I use AI now too. You know, in writing, it helps if you learn how to utilize it. And work with it in a positive way. It is amazing, and really has helped me go deeper into my creativity. But I understand the fears too, for sure. So where do people find you?
Oh, I am represented by a gallery in Crested Butte, RA Modern, and I have shows periodically in Denver. And I have a studio in Lakewood, Colorado, at Lakewood United Methodist Church.
Oh, nice.
There's actually several artists who have studios. The congregation decided to have artists use some of their 50,000 square feet of space. And so that, and the money from my studio goes to help the unhoused, and they have food banks. And it's really a great scenario. So I'm located there, and I have my internet presence, my website, and Instagram.
That's right. You want to tell us what your website is?
It's pretty easy. It's annmorgan.art.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for taking some time with us today, and It's a beautiful show, so I urge everyone to get on out and see it here this next week. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
All right, that's At the Art Base, everybody, through the 7th of December. Here's another one from Rosemary Wotola Traumer. Though the world is dented and dinged and scuffed and scorned, we trim the beans and peel the potatoes. And the kitchen is warm and full of laughter. We hum as we work and break into scraps of song. All day our hands are joyful as they prepare the meal to come. Even now, there are wars and battles, not all of them fought with guns, some waged intimately in our thoughts, our scraped-up hearts. And still, this scent of apple pie sweetening as it bakes, this inner insistence that love is not only possible, it is every bit as real as our fear. Whether the host has brought out his best wine in his best crystal glasses or water in chipped clay cups, there is every reason to be generous, to serve not only our family, our friends, ourselves, but also those we don't yet know how to love, and those parts of ourselves we have tried to keep separate. Tonight, the host has hidden bait in the dinner. We all are caught. Scent of sage, scent of mushrooms and cream, the bite of cranberry. Never mind the potatoes cooked too long. Blessings seep into all the imperfect places, even if you can't name the blessings. Consider them secret ingredients. The point is not to understand the feast, but to eat it together. All right. I am now going to play the interview with Dorothy Raymond. Her show, Earth Speaks, is with Anne's at the Art Base. And it was fun catching up with her. Here we go.
Welcome. Hello, Amy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for taking some time on this holiday weekend to be with us. Your work.
You're welcome.
Your work is directly kind of comes from the tradition of quilt making, fabric art, textural kinds of qualities. Can you describe it to our listening audience?
I can. It's my art is constructed of three layers, just like a traditional quilt. The layer on top, and then batting, and then some sort of backing fabric. Unlike a traditional quilt, my work is meant to go on the wall. Mm-hmm. And so it's much too small to go on a bed. And what I do is I have a scene in mind or an image in mind, and I cut up pieces of fabric and pin them down and look and move them and pin them down and sew them down and look and move them and pin them down until I get my piece finished. And then I'll do some quilting and stitching on top to enhance what I'm trying to say. But in short, it's like I'm painting, but I'm using thread. Thread and fabric instead of paint.
And how did you come to fabric as your medium?
I have always loved fabric. And I started sewing sewing my own clothes when I was 8. And for the rest of my life, I have continued to sew my own clothes, most of them, not all of them. And so I just had this love affair with fiber, and I can remember being in a sewing class, just touching the cashmere fabric and stroking it and looking up and seeing another woman in class stroking her cashmere fabric. So it was like, you know, it just feels so good. And you can get lots of different textures with fabric. You can get lots of different colors. I don't know how many different colors of green. And it just makes me happy to be surrounded by colors of fabric.
Plus, what a great reuse of fabric that, you know, might have ended up in a landfill or somewhere else.
That's true.
So Your show is called Earth Speaks at the Art Base.
Yes.
And you are paired with Anne, and it's fascinating to me because I just interviewed Anne. Her work is so kind of cerebral and digital and technical, and yours is very visceral and immediate, and, you know, using ancient, as they might say, fabrics
yes.
and techniques.
Yes.
How did you two come together? Was it through the Art Base, or do you know each other?
No. Well, we're friends now, but we came through the Art Base.
Uh-huh.
We were put together by the Art Base. We each made proposals for exhibits, and the Art Base looked at hers and looked at mine and thought, oh, these are going to go together. This will be interesting.
That is interesting. Did you find, did it reveal anything about each of your art as you were put together?
Not a lot. We both like colors, mm-hmm. bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's our art is expressive of both of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
now you were a lawyer for many years?
Yes.
And were you doing art through that whole time, or was this a transition for you?
Well, I was making my own clothes as a lawyer, and there was some creativity involved there. I also noticed that I would doodle on, you know, meeting agendas and my notepads and that kind of stuff. And I was never encouraged to be artistic. That was my sister's role. Mm-hmm. And so it just, I sort of fell into it. And then that was certainly one of the reasons that made me want to go part-time, was mm-hmm. to have time to make fabric art. And then I got really serious about it.
And now you do art full-time?
Well, I'm retired and very happily retired. So when I'm not hiking or reading or working in the garden, then yes, I do fiber art.
Nice. So let's talk about quilts versus the art quilt. Or
yes,
yeah. What do you do quilts as well, or you just use the quilting technique? And how does that all blend together?
Well, I think that art quilts definitely owe a debt of gratitude to traditional quilts. And, you know, even some traditional quilts that go on the bed are pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
But usually people now, they have a pattern, they choose the fabrics and they follow the pattern and it goes on the bed or it might hang on the wall. But it's not really a creative endeavor. They're not making something that they consider art. And with traditional quilts, when you enter them into the into a quilt show, they get judged on how precise is your piecing and are your stitches even mm-hmm. and all those sorts of things. And when you enter an art quilt show, I've entered my work successfully in fine art shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, or the question is, does it show up as a piece of art? Does it work as a piece of art?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very.
And I do still make a few traditional quilts. What I really like is just putting pieces of fabric together and sewing them blissfully. But you know, it's just something very, very soothing. But then, you know, I get to itching to make another art quilt, and I've got a couple in mind right now.
Oh wow! So, what sizes are these pieces?
Well, they vary in size from 3 inches by 5 inches to, and they're 12 inches by 12 inches is a fairly common size in the art quilt world. And then all different sizes, mostly landscape orientation. And I think the biggest that I have is maybe 50 by 36, something like 50 inches wide, 36 inches tall.
Wonderful. Yeah, they are certainly beautiful. And the whole show at the Art Base is worth a visit. Everyone's only got one more week to check out this work.
It's a really great show. They did a really good job in hanging it, I think.
I think so, too. And it's a great space. You know, it's always nice to have, like, the space to present. Anne's is really large-scale works. Yours is more, what's the average size works? I don't know what the term would be.
Probably 20 by 30.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're pretty big too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful space. Now, do you have any other shows lined up? Where can people find you and find out more about you?
I have my website. It's dorothyraymond.com. And I've been saving all of my work for this show, and I hope that lots of it sells. So I'm going to have to start over before I propose a new show. But I do have a couple of pieces traveling the world through an international art quilt association. But the best place to find me is on my website at dorothyraymond.com.
That's fabulous. Well, I really appreciate you taking some time this weekend. And I really enjoyed the show. So thank you for sharing it with us up here in the mountains. And hopefully we'll see more of your work this way.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
All right. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I will be back next Friday. That's our last Express Your Show of the year. And it's my birthday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, stay safe out there.